Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
Social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Wicked, Broadway's most popular musical, returns to New Orleans.
So if you can find me, look to the western sky.
Don't miss the untold true story of the Witches of Oz from November 29th through December 17th at the Sanger Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Wicked, it's the only musical with the power to defy gravity. Visit BroadwayInNewOrleans.com to get wicked.
Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
Social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to a special edition of The Robinson Show. You know, on the program from time to time, we talk professional wrestling. After all, I've been a fan of professional wrestling for a very long time. And sadly, we lost someone in the world of professional wrestling, Bray Wyatt. Bray, whose real name was Wyndham Rotunda, wrestled for Vince McMahon's WWE, and he was known by his wrestling names Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, and he won major titles, including the WWE Championship, the Universal Championship twice, also a Raw Tag Team Championship with Matt Hardy, and a SmackDown Tag Team Championship with Randy Orton and the late Luke Harper. Wyndham Rotunda was only 36 years of age, but whether you loved him as Bray Wyatt or The Fiend, he definitely entertained for such a short amount of time here on Earth and in his wrestling career. You know, we've had him on the program in the past, and he's a wrestling enthusiast, somebody who's like me, loves professional wrestling, and let's welcome him back to the program to talk more about the legacy of Bray Wyatt. Let's welcome Eric to the program. I know Eric has been a long time, man, but welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Man, you're welcome, bro. So the untimely passing of Bray Wyatt, the legacy of Bray Wyatt, I know you got a lot to say about it, so the floor is yours. What are some of the things that you think about with the career of Bray Wyatt?
I think of his legacy. I think of generations of family members who wrestled, you know, from his grandpa to his uncle Barry Wyndham. It was hard to really digest, you know, 36 years old, still had a whole life ahead of him, and I could only, you know, think of his kids, his wife, and just hard news all the way around, really hard to digest, but just got to carry on with his memory, you know.
Absolutely. It is hard to digest, Eric. I mean, just he was on his way of making a comeback to the world of professional wrestling. We're going to get more into all of that with the comeback and the health issues and things of that nature. But you mentioned about him coming from a wrestling family, a multi-generational wrestling family, his grandfather, Blackjack Mulligan. Eric, can you explain to the listeners, for those that had not watched Blackjack Mulligan in action, just his wrestling style and how many titles he won and his grandsons and also his children in the business?
Yeah, well, Blackjack Mulligan was an original member of the Blackjacks, and he won multiple tag titles. He had not a real long singles career, but he was a great tag team wrestler. I mean, he wrestled for all kinds of promotions. He was a very well-known wrestler all through the world and very respected. And then his son was Barry Wyndham. And, see, Barry Wyndham... sister, I think, married IRS, and that's how they had Wyndham Rotunda, which is Bray Wyatt, so who of Irvin R. Scheister, who was also multiple tag team champs with Ted DiBiase and Money Incorporated. And, of course, we know Bo Dallas And also Kendall Windham, which is Barry Windham's brother. He was also a wrestler. So, I mean, the lineage goes way back. Great wrestling family. And it's crazy because, you know, we didn't think Bray Wyatt to be passing, you know, because his uncle Barry Windham is sick. He was very sick. He had a scare with a heart attack and really wasn't doing well. And, you know, and we get the news that, you know, Bray Wyatt passes, and it's just like, it's a wake up call. You know, you got to monitor your health. Definitely got to keep up with your health and stay up with your, eat healthy, exercise well. And he looked like he was in great shape. He looked like he was in good spirits, and we're just going to mourn. It's just like a punch in the gut just to see someone that, you know, you watch for so many. Husky Harris, when he came to WWE at first, when NXT, he was named Husky Harris, and I guess that gimmick didn't work too well. Then he came back as Bray Wyatt. Then I think he came back as one of the greatest characters ever created in my mind, is The Fiend. I was very attached to The Fiend. I even bought his action figure. I got his action figure. But, wow. Now, speculation was he's supposed to come back as The Fiend in his next return, because that's what Vince McMahon wanted. He wanted The Fiend to come back. But I guess we'll never know.
You're right about that. We'll never know. And you said some key points, Eric, about making sure you pay attention to your health and things of that nature. And certainly, again, Bray Wyatt, man, his untimely death, man, definitely somebody that made his mark in such a short amount of time. And I just want to stay talking about the lineage and his family. So we talked about his grandfather, Black Jack Mulligan. I want to talk about his uncle, Kendall Windham. Eric, for those that may have not been around or haven't had an opportunity to go on the various video websites and to see Kendall Windham in action, how would you describe his wrestling style?
He was a come at you, no nonsense. I mean, he was brutal. And I think that's what the whole family was, sort of just like Bray Wyatt. I mean, he just ran through you. Black Jack Mulligan, his grandpa, the same way, very vicious. Not a whole lot of off-the-top rope maneuvers, but a lot of power moves, a lot of devastation. And same thing with Barry Windham. I mean, he hit you with that lariat, which is also a clothesline. Man, he'll rip your neck off and catch you with that bulldog, too. He loved doing that bulldog. And his dad, you know, IRS, Irvin R. Scheister in WWE, well, WWF, him, too. He was a pretty brutal wrestler. And he also went under the name Captain Rotunda in WCW, Mike Rotunda, back in WCW. And also he was Wall Street. But he also, too, was a straight at you. A lot of maneuvers, a lot of headlocks, arm bars, you know, take you to the canvas, stomp on you. That was their style of wrestling. And Bo Dallas, his brother, similar type wrestling attributes, but it just runs through the family. They was just a straightforward, no-nonsense wrestlers. I mean, you wrestled one of them family members, you knew you was in for a match.
Absolutely. You know, you said it best, Eric. You know, you were in for a knockdown dragout, whether it be the grandfather, Black Jack Mulligan, or Kendall Windham, or the next person that I want to talk about is Barry Windham. Now, all of the wrestling fans out there, I know you know about the greatness of Barry Windham, and he had some health issues recently, but he's bounced back from that. But, man, again, Eric, for those that had not had an opportunity to see Barry in action or haven't had an opportunity to go to the websites and watch him at work, describe Barry Windham and his wrestling style.
Yeah, much like his dad, you know, Black Jack Mulligan, like I said, he had a heck of a clothesline, which is also known as, you know, they call it a lariat. You know, he does a great bulldog, and he liked to drop the knee on top of your skull and bust your head open. He was a member of the Four Horsemen. They thought of him so much, they put him in the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Sid Vicious. I mean, that was probably some of his best times. And, of course, he went on to become WCW World Champ, which was a big achievement for him. He won the world title, and like I said, he also fought for another world title against Lex Luger at a Great American Bash 91, I believe it was, in a steel cage, which was a really good match. Didn't win that match, but, man, he was ruthless in that match, and he was just a great wrestler. A lot of people don't know he came to the WWF as the Stalker, I believe it was. It didn't work, though. But then I think he also brought back the new Blackjacks with JBL. And actually, I think me and you went and seen them in a tag team match at the Lakefront Arena. But, yeah, they didn't work neither. But as a singles wrestler, man, he was awesome. His best days was in WCW, and he put together some good matches. And when you finished a match with Barry Windham, you knew you was in a match because you come out there all chopped up in the chest, and a lot of matches came out with blood. So he was a really, 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 really entertaining wrestler, and one of the best to ever do it. And that's why he's in the Hall of Fame with the Horsemen. Blackjack Mulligan's in the Hall of Fame. Now, if Bray Wyatt gets in the Hall of Fame, that'd be three straight generations in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't think that's ever happened either, Eric. And I can't recall anything happening like that, but we'll definitely have that real soon. And I want to stay just with Barry for a moment. A tag team that he was a part of, him and Mike Rotunda, which we'll talk about Mike in just a little bit, but him and his brother-in-law, Mike Rotunda, had a tag team called the U.S. Express, which was the WWF, now the WWE. Can you just tell the listeners more in the detail about Windham and Rotunda as the U.S. Express?
Yeah, I just think, my opinion, they just came around the wrong time because they didn't capture no championships, but they definitely had a lot of matches. But at that time, I mean, you had so many other tag teams that were dominating in that era. But as far as what they brought to the table, I thought they was a heck of a tag team, and I thought for sure they probably could have went on and done great things, but I think their mindset was singles competition. I just always thought that's what they wanted, and they both had great singles careers. Of course, you know, the other half, Irvin R. Scheister, to become a two-time tag champs with Ted DiBiase, but yeah, they was a good tag team, and they had great chemistry, and you know, they were brother-in-law, so I guess they felt like, you know, travel the world, rode together. They, you know, probably had great conversations and probably talked about their kids and wondered, would they ever become a wrestler? What would they do when they get older? And, of course, you know, Bray Wyatt became a wrestler and Bo Dallas became a wrestler. And I guess now, you know, they just have conversations on, you know, how their careers were.
Absolutely. And you talked about, they didn't really have much of a – they had a little run in the WWF, or now WWE, but, man, you mentioned about his run in WCW was legendary, and also the NWA before that. He was a tag team champ with Lex Luger, Curt Hennig, a.k.a. Mr. Perfect, and, of course, his brother, Kendall Windham. But people, in terms of tag teams, Barry Windham was teamed up with the Natural, Dustin Rhodes. Can you tell the listeners out there just how dominant that team was with Windham and Rhodes?
Yeah, that was one of the best, I think, combinations they had. And I could remember when they broke, I think it was Arn Anderson and them, they broke Barry Windham's arm, slamming his arm in a car door, coming to a pay-per-view with Dusty Rhodes in a red Mercedes. And I remember they drove him off to the hospital and they had broke his arm, and for a while he wrestled with a cast. That's how dominated they was. They had to beat them up to stop them. Otherwise, they would have ran through WCW. But they were such a good tag team because at that time they were both second-generation wrestlers. They had good lineage. Their family was in the business, and they were both young at the time and trying to still make their way in the business. And they really impressed me as a tag team. And I just wish we had a little bit more of them. But, of course, they went singles competition and went and actually did very well that way. So it's just crazy how you look back on Barry Windham's career and know that all the greatness that he was achieving and how long he did it for and still around the day. And you think, you know, Bray Wyatt never was going to have that opportunity to look back on a 30-year career or talk about some of the great things he does down the road. You know, just like he got cheated out of a lot.
Yeah, it's always tough when you don't really see potential being fulfilled like that. But, hey, you know, the time that Bray was given, he made the most out of it. And, again, we talked about him preparing for the comeback and didn't see it come to fruition, and we'll get into it in just a little bit. But I want to talk now about his dad, Mike Rotunda, a.k.a. Irwin R. Scheister, also was a member of the Varsity Club. Now, we'll get into his WWF or WWE career in just a moment, but I want to talk about the years with the Varsity Club, first NWA and then WCW. The Varsity Club was a crew that consisted of him, Kevin Sullivan, Rick Steiner, Dr. Det Steve Williams, and Dangerous Dan Spivey. What are your memories, Eric, of Mike Rotunda and those gentlemen being a part of the Varsity Club?
Yeah, it was a great time to have it. It didn't last very long, but my opinion, he stood out in that group. Whenever you seen him in the ring, you could just tell that, yeah, this dude's on a different level. And nothing to take away from Kevin Sullivan, because I thought he was also a vicious type wrestler, and Dr. Death, no doubt. But I just thought Mike Rotunda was a great mat wrestler, because, you know, he has a wrestler background, you know, so did Rick Steiner. So I thought that's probably why their pair was so good, because they both wrestled the real wrestling with the gear on your ear and get on the mat and do a lot of mat wrestling. And you've seen that a lot with him throughout his career. But I think that was probably one of the eras that really started giving him momentum, because, you know, they all went on to have a lot of great success. But, that was the beginning of something good with him, and I figured they would go a little longer, but, you know, sometimes these type stables, they like to go their separate ways and do their own thing and find their own identity, and I think that's what he did eventually.
Yeah, you're right about that, Eric. It just went sometimes in the professional wrestling business, when we see a good thing that's going really well or something that's trying to develop, like you said, everybody, they go their separate ways or they split them up, unfortunately. So we talked about the U.S. Express when Rotunda and Barry Windham won tag team titles in the WWF, later becoming the WWE. And then Rotunda is in the NWA WCW with the Varsity Club. And then also he had a brief stint as Michael Wall Street, and then later he became VK Wall Street. But I think people mainly remember him for him being IRS, Irwin R. Scheister. Him and Ted DiBiase were Money Incorporated. They were dominant during their time together in the WWF, later becoming the WWE. Just give me your thoughts on Rotunda and Ted DiBiase, Money Inc., and his time in the WWF.
Yeah, no doubt. That I think that tag team should be in the Hall of Fame, because, you know, when they first won their first WWF at the time tag title, man, they held them for a while. And I don't know, one match that always sticks out in my mind about IRS and Ted DiBiase, when they faced Hogan and Brutus Beefcake at WrestleMania 9. I remember that match. They had hit him with a brick, and all. It was a crazy match. But I remember that's when Hogan came back. They beat up Beefcake and crushed his face, and Hogan came back, and it was a big build-up for that tag team match. And I just showed you the stardom of, you know, Money Incorporated to be in WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan. That's a big deal, because Hogan always faced top competitors at WrestleMania. He main evented like the first six or seven of them, possibly eight, I think. But, yeah, they were a good tag team, and they dominated. They beat tag teams like the Natural Disasters, which really tripped me out, because I really like the Natural Disasters, but they beat them, and they went on to beat a lot of tag teams in the WWE. They lost the titles. I think they even feuded with the Steiners for a second, and they got the titles back, and they went on another good title run. So definitely one of the most respected tag teams that WWE had in the early 90s.
Absolutely. I want to stay just with IRS's time in the WWE. Money Incorporated, very dominant team with IRS or Mike Rotunda and Ted DiBiase. You mentioned about Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 9. You had Money Incorporated going up against Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, which were known as the Mega Maniacs. For those that had not seen that match, tell everybody what that tag team match was like.
Well, it was a good match, and it had a lot of build-up, because no one really knew what Brutus the Barber Beefcake was going to do, because his face got hurt pretty bad because they attacked him. So he came out with this yellow and red mask to protect his face, and Hogan came out as his tag team partner. And, of course, Money Incorporated came into the ring as well, and it was an okay match. I didn't think it lived up to the billing, but it was entertaining enough. But I believe Hogan and Beefcake won by disqualification, I believe. But, It was a pretty intense match. You know, Hogan does his thing. Then, of course, you know, Ted DiBiase and Hogan had a history. That's also what made that match so intriguing, because if you remember back at WrestleMania 4, Ted DiBiase was involved in that the Andre the Giant. Well, it was around WrestleMania 4 when Andre the Giant sold him the world title after Andre beat Hogan and DiBiase bought the belt from Andre. So the history's been there. And for it to continue in a tag team match like that, I thought it was a pretty good way to go with that type of match. And when they put it at WrestleMania, you knew it was going to be a big-time match.
Yeah, absolutely. I encourage anybody to, if they have that opportunity, to check that out with WrestleMania 9 between the Mega Maniacs, which was Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake going up against Money Incorporated with Irwin R. Scheister and Ted DiBiase. So, Eric, we touched on Bray Wyatt's family and the lineage from Mike Rotunda to his uncles, Barry and Kendall Windham, and we also talked about his grandfather, Black Jack Mulligan. I want to talk about his brother and sister for a moment, Bo Dallas and his sister Micah. We know Micah had a tryout with the WWE. We don't know what the situation is with that, but Bo was with his brother Bray for a period of time. Just give me your thoughts on the brother and sister in the business.
I don't know a whole lot about what their sister did. Not 100% sure on her. It's like almost like she stayed maybe independent a lot. She never really joined any of these major organizations. But, you know, Bo Dallas, he definitely made his name in WWE, winning, you know, tag team gold, you know, NXT. And he's had so many names as a singles competitor. He was Bo Rotunda, Tank Mulligan, Bo Washington. I mean, he definitely made his name in the wrestling business, and he's still making his name, you know. And he also, you know, was tag teams with Curtis Axel for a while, won the tag titles with them, which is Mr. Perfect's son, another third-generation star. But, you know, Bo Dallas, we're not sure what's going to happen with him now, what direction he's going to go, because I believe he was Uncle Howdy. No one really seen his face, but rumors was he was Uncle Howdy, and he was supposed to do great things with his brother going forward. But it looked like all that's coming to a halt. Now, what will he bring his character? Will he become what Bray Wyatt was and carry on that, or does he change his whole persona? I guess time will tell, but he's definitely got what it takes if they just give him an opportunity. You know, he debuted in wrestling in 2008, so he's been around a while, so I would just first let him digest what happened and get his head right, because you don't want him getting in the ring anytime soon so he can get his head right. But hopefully WWE does something with him and tries to give him a shot to carry on, you know, the name, because he's the last one really to carry it right now.
Absolutely. I want to stay just with Bo for a moment. Eric, I know this is a lighthearted moment, but when Bo Dallas, he had a character called Bo Leave, where he would say, all you got to do is Bo Leave. And I really like that character, but me and you were always at odds over this character. Personally, I loved Bo Leave. What were your thoughts on this character, and why weren't you feeling it?
Just didn't fit him, you know. He was always happy and running around the ring telling you to always believe, you know. I just thought that was something maybe the WWE had him do. I don't think it was nothing he thought of. At least I hope not. But it was entertaining at some point. But through the lineage of his family, you know, they always was the serious, in-your-face type. And I guess maybe he tried to go a different route with it. I just don't think it worked, you know. I don't know, but I liked his other character when he came out as a tag team with Curtis Axel, that Bo Dallas. I thought he grew the beard out, and he wore the glove, and I guess he wore that glove in honor of his grandpa. Back Jack Mulligan always wore black gloves, so I just didn't like that the Bo Dallas character. You loved it. You, every time it came on, you called me about him. But, yeah, I did. I didn't really feel him too much, man. I didn't like that character.
Hey, It was silly in a way, but I liked it though, because all he would say, all you gotta do is believe, and then he started beating them up. It was just a lot of fun. And then he had, like you mentioned, Eric, he had some character changes ever since the believe thing came and went. But you know, he's made his mark in the business, and like you said, hopefully when he's in the right frame of mind and can get past this somehow, some way, we'll definitely be able to see him in the near future. So, Eric, we touched on the family, and we got to touch on Bray Wyatt. We know Bray, him and his brother Bo, went through the development stages, the development territories with the WWE, also going through NXT, and then finally having his opportunity with the Wyatt family. Of course, the Wyatt family was Bray, along with rest in peace, Luke Harper, later becoming Brody Lee. When was the first time that you saw Bray Wyatt on television, and what did you think of him?
First time I saw him, when he was Husky Harris, he had short hair. He was definitely not in the shape he was in recently. And it just, like, I always seen him seem like more backstage or in a tag team match. I just don't think that character fit who he was, but I could recall wondering, because I didn't know really who he was at the time. He was Husky Harris, and I found out that, you know, his dad was Urban R. Scheister, you know, Mike Rotunda. So then he left for a while, and I could remember watching Raw, and all of a sudden they had a little commercial about him and the Wyatt family, and he had longer hair and a beard, and looked like he shaped up a little bit, trimmed down, and like he was trying to show the world what he can do, and he was definitely doing it right. But it was when he was Husky Harris, NXT time is when I first seen it and really seen who he was.
So the Husky Harris era, that came and went, but as I mentioned earlier, the Wyatt family was formed. Brand new character, new outlook, just a new look on everything. The storylines changed. And the Wyatt family, of course, was Bray, along with, again, rest in peace to Luke Harper, later becoming Brody Lee. Give me your thoughts when you saw Bray's new character change and the Wyatt family forming.
I liked it. I thought it was at that point, his best work. I mean, he was always on Raw. He was involved in the biggest matches. You know, he even went on to face Undertaker at a WrestleMania. You know you're doing good when that happens. But I just loved it. I loved it. It was more of a darker Fasana than all this, you know, the New Day, and you know, this was more of a where they're coming down there with the mask on, and the dude, because when he first came out as Bray Wyatt, we didn't know who was in that mask. It was, you know, like you said, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, and them dudes are massive, and I can remember thinking, whoa, those are some big dudes. And man, they went on to do great things too, and as far as a tag team, but Bray Wyatt definitely was the brains of that outfit. He definitely was the train. He was the driver. He was taking them with him, and they went up to superstardom, and I thought that was his best of him, because it lasted a lot longer than what The Fiend lasted. But I think The Fiend might have came back. Like I said, no one really knows, but that Bray Wyatt, when he first came back for that first 6 months, it was must-see TV, because they always did something crazy. And he'll sit in that little rocking chair and just rock back and forth and tell Harper and Rowan what to do and wear that hat with that shirt open. And it was definitely a good character for him. Good thinking. I mean, that's genius is what that was.
You're right about that. Indeed, it was genius, Eric. And how could I forget about Eric Rowan? Definitely could not forget about the three gentlemen in the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and they definitely had their run in the WWE. And you know, you mentioned about the character change going over to The Fiend. Give me your thoughts on him becoming The Fiend.
Well, at first I didn't know what was going on. They did the Firefly Funhouse, and he came out happy and talking all happy and all nice, and then all of a sudden he just changed. And when he said, "But him." And when he said him, I was like, him? Who was him? And he got serious and angry, like, but he's not happy. He don't like you. And then he got happy again and said, all right, bye. And he's like, wait, who's he talking about him? Then all of a sudden he started bringing him more and more. Then they finally showed him was the Fiend. And that was his other personality that he had, you know. And when I seen that, I was like, oh, no, this is definitely some of his. I thought he did great with the Wyatt family. But when the Fiend came out, that just showed you really how much of a genius he really was, because he took it to another whole new level. And I can remember his first match at SummerSlam against Finn Balor, the greatest debut entry since Undertaker at Survivor Series, 1990, I believe it was. I remember I watched that on YouTube for the next month every day, that entrance. It was, if anybody hasn't seen that entrance at the SummerSlam where it was Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor, the debut of The Fiend, must-see TV. You got to check that out. It's goosebump, bone-chilling entrance. It's amazing.
Indeed it is. You described that entrance perfectly, Eric. And I want to stay just with The Fiend for a moment. His matches were a little weird at times. It's like the lights would go out for a few seconds, and all of a sudden the lights would go off and get a 1-2-3 victory, or he would get a DDT on somebody and the match was over with. What did you think about that?
I think it was something different, you know. That used to happen with Kane sometimes when he first came out as Kane, it would be red all the time. And but what I like is when the lights just start flashing, or someone's in the ring talking and all of a sudden lights go out in sections till it gets completely dark. Then all of a sudden the lights come on and there's the Fiend standing behind you. You know, it's you know, I'm a horror movie man myself, so anything that deals with some type of horror, I'm intrigued. Like Mankind, Kane, The Undertaker, The Fiend. I'm definitely intrigued by that, and his thought process through that was amazing. And I just think the WWE should have just let him run with it, you know, just let him move on with it and keep it moving forward. I think the WWE kind of stopped its momentum a little bit. Why, I don't know, but I just think WWE stopped the momentum of The Fiend. When he lost to Randy Orton at his last WrestleMania, that was the last time we saw The Fiend. But he definitely, when he came up with that character, he came up with something special and something that would be remembered forever.
You're absolutely right about that. And you mentioned about Firefly Funhouse. Those skits, to me, they were very funny because he started off being like super, super happy and say, bye. Hi, and all this other stuff, and he's cheesing, then all of a sudden he goes into this mean person and trying to manipulate the situation. What did you think about those skits?
I thought they were masterpieces because, I mean, like I said, he'll be talking so happy and, you know, I want you to meet my friends and we love you and y'all my best friend. And from that he goes to talking about The Fiend and his whole attitude changes. He gets mean and dark and aggressive. Then he gets back happy again, and it's like, okay, see you next week, bye. You know, and it's like, whoa, what's going on in this dude's head? I don't know what it is, but I like it. So it's definitely some of the best work, you know. That should have went on for the next 10 years. I'd enjoyed it, you know. I enjoyed what I got from it, and I'm definitely cherish what we got from it. But you know, we were shorted from that character, and that was some great work. I don't think you see nothing like that again in WWE history.
Strong possibility right there, my friend. And I want to stay just specifically with that skit for a moment. Somebody that was a key component to that skit was Alexa Bliss. And Eric, you know Alexa is one of my favorite wrestlers, and I especially love when she carries her doll that she's had since a child, Lily. Give me your thoughts on Alexa and the connection and the magic, the chemistry she had with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I think that was some of Alexa Bliss's best work, too. I think she definitely showed her range as a performer and as a wrestler, too. I really liked it. I thought they should have added some more components to that and made something out of it. Maybe that's what they would have done in the future. But yeah, I didn't really so much like the Lily part with the stuffed animal. I mean, it was a different element to the character, but I just liked her character, the dark part of her character, and the way she carried on, and the chemistry she had with Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, I thought was awesome. And they hit it off good right away, and I knew that it was going to be something good, and it was. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, those skits were something else, man. Like, and I definitely agree with you, bro. They ended that way too early. They could have given it more run, and they could have given it more of a run with the Firefly House and the Fiend and things of that nature. We're going to talk more into the comeback that was supposed to happen in just a bit, but he won some titles during his time in the WWE. He was a former WWE champion, two-time Universal champion. Also, he was a Raw Tag Team champion with Matt Hardy. Also, he was a SmackDown Tag Team champ with Randy Orton and Luke Harper. Out of all of those titles he won, Eric, which ones did you think, in your opinion, were the best and why?
I'm going to say his first world title run when he was just Bray Wyatt. I think he was in like an Elimination Chamber match, and I know he pinned Roman Reigns and won that. I don't remember everybody in that match. I watched that pay-per-view, but I don't remember everyone who was involved. But I remember him pinning Roman Reigns, and I remember him grabbing a world championship and yelling, "Now I have the whole world in my hands," which means he was the world champ. And I thought that title reign should have lasted a little bit longer. But I think that first world title reign, because the whole audience was yelling, "You deserve it," and he definitely deserved it. He earned that right, and he held that title with pride and did great by that title.
Yeah, there's nothing like the first time in anything in life, winning your first belt or the first time of anything. And certainly that was definitely the sweetest time for Bray Wyatt, winning his first WWE championship. And his finishing move, Sister Abigail, that was a unique finisher. What do you rank it amongst the top 10 or even maybe the top 30 finishing moves in wrestling history?
Really hard to say where I would rank it, but it is definitely a unique finishing move, and it looked like it hurts, man. He grabs you and kisses you and flips you over. I mean, it looked like that definitely would hurt. If you did that on concrete, you'd probably die, but it's definitely up there as one of the great finishing moves, because he won a tag title with that move, and he won his first world title with that move. So, a lot of thought process into that move, and it was a unique move because I've never seen nobody ever do that move. So I guess you could call it the Bray Wyatt move now, because anybody who does it from here on out, everybody's going to say that's Bray Wyatt's finisher. But I thought it was a good move. I definitely one of the best. Where to rank it, there's just so many moves to rank, but it definitely got to crack the top 20, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. You're right about that, E. If he did that on concrete, it would definitely hurt. So Sister Abigail, definitely a finishing move. You get an opportunity to watch one of his matches on any of the video websites, I tell you one thing, you'll be in for a treat. And so, Eric, we talked about him being in and out of the WWE for quite some time. We found out that he was dealing with an illness, and they said it was life-threatening, and he was on his way to making a comeback. We saw him in and out, but it wasn't consistent. What were your thoughts on the comeback that he was trying to make and what he was trying to do in order to revamp his wrestling career?
It's such a blur, and I guess you could say confusing, because it didn't seem like it's been since January since he's been in a ring. At the Royal Rumble, he faced LA Knight in a blackout match. I thought the match was okay. I just didn't like the character. I don't know. It got out of hand with the character, and I think that's why they put a halt on that comeback. Because remember, he made the first comeback. Then we didn't see him. You know, come WrestleMania, he was supposed to face Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, and something happened. They said mental health, or he was sick, and he stepped away and they scratched that match for WrestleMania, and I think their goal was to get him back for SummerSlam, and that fell through. That didn't happen, and it just I guess she was trying to get back and had some setbacks along the way. And I guess no one will ever really know really what happened and how it happened and why it happened. But he definitely was trying to come back. He was definitely coming back to do what he loves best. And that's entertain us, WWE Universe. But didn't make it back in horrible circumstances, you know.
You're absolutely right about that. Unfortunately, he didn't get his opportunity to make that comeback because of his untimely passing. And, you know, with all this happening, Eric, what are some of the words that come to your mind when you think of the legacy of Bray Wyatt and what he achieved and what was hoping he would achieve in his comeback but didn't get that opportunity? What are some of the words that come to your mind when you think of his career and his legacy?
I guess the biggest word that comes to my mind is passion. I mean, you could see it in every character, and I still don't think we saw the best of him. You know, I was waiting to see that, and but yeah, definitely passion, creativity, you know, and also family man, father comes to mind, brother, son, grandson, friend. So yeah, he definitely touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways. You know, everybody probably has a different story about him and a different word to express their feelings about him. But a lot of words come to my mind, but definitely passion, genius. That's some of the main ones.
You know, Eric, since with the news of the passing of Bray Wyatt, so many of his WWE, just his peers and his contemporaries have come out and just had so many heartwarming tributes. Triple H, The Rock, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, John Cena, the list goes on and on. Just tell me about the people that he worked with and just the respect that he earned during his time working with the company.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell in the post that people did when they found out of his passing, you know, everybody had nothing but kind things to say, and they all were pretty consistent with each other. Nice guy, great family guy, you know, great guy to work with, very safe in the ring, made sure you were safe before he was. That's just how he was in the ring. Yeah, you could tell that in his matches. You may look like he's really hurting somebody, but it's the same notion, he's protecting them, and that's called professionalism, and that's what he was. And everybody that posted something always had something good to say about him. You know, they always said he was nice, always was willing to talk, willing to take time out to talk, and never heard anything really bad about him.
You're absolutely right about that, and I know I'm going to miss him, and I know you're going to miss him as well. Definitely a talent gone way too soon, but we have the memories. And Eric, any final thoughts you have on Bray Wyatt and where we go from here, just in terms of talent that we're going to continue to be watching for quite a long time?
Well, yeah, just wondering what they're going to do with Bo Dallas now. Should he carry on the Fiend type theme, or should he just go a different direction? That's something to be seen now. And I think right now, if Bo Dallas wanted to come to WWE and wrestle, the fans will have his back 100% more than ever, just because we got a piece of Bray Wyatt when he comes back, and I take that. But just sad to hear that he passed at such a young age, and I guess time will tell on a real reason on what happened. But in my opinion, none of that really matters. What matters is, now, how's his family, his children, his wife? Hopefully they could just keep moving forward and always think of the great things that they had when they was with him.
Absolutely, and we definitely have the memories, and we'll definitely not only have memories of him, but even memories of his grandfather as well. And, of course, we'll be continue to watch the great matches that his dad had as well as his brother, Bo Dallas, as well. And this, man, Eric, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. This was a lot of fun considering the circumstances. And anything else you want to say to the listeners out there where they can find you on social media, or you just saying thank you for their time?
Yeah, I just got almost on Facebook, Habish Writing Eric. But from time to time, I come on here and talk some good sports, and sometimes we have to talk sad sports, you know, and today was a sad one, and it could also be a happy one, you know, remembering his great matches. And that's what anybody wants to know, how the Fiend was, or the Bray Wyatt character, go check him out on YouTube. Very entertaining, and you'll be, if you're not a fan, you'll definitely become one. And check out his family too, Barry Windham, Black Jack Mulligan, check them all out, Irvin R. Scheister, his father, Bo Dallas. Go check out those matches, and you'll definitely be entertained. That family's been entertaining me for over 40 years, and hopefully they do continue to entertain us. And just sad of the passing of Bray Wyatt.
And we'll end it on that note, ladies and gentlemen. Eric, this was fun again. Thank you so much, and you be safe, and you take care, my friend.
You too, Ed. Thanks for having me, man. God bless.
Oh, God bless you too, bro. This was a lot of fun, and that's going to do it for this special edition of The Robinson Show, everybody. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson saying, remember to put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe. Or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. So if you're diabetic and still using old technology and finger sticks, what are you waiting for? US Med carries the highest quality continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. US Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. Visit usmed.com/radio today. That's usmed.com/radio today, and manage your diabetes as easy as...
Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
The social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe. Or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
The social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.
Fraud protection, free credit monitoring, and interest earned on your entire balance with easy access where, when, and how you need it. Get the most bang for your buck with an interest checking account at Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, the local bank that cares about you. Ready to bank smarter? Visit gulfbank.com and let's make it happen.
This is what you're looking for.
Equal housing and equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe, or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
Wondering what retirement is like at St. James Place in Baton Rouge? Folks who live there say,
oh, are you in for a surprise?
You can be busy every day.
All day.
Social life is outstanding.
Wonderful parties.
There are courses in computer, art, music.
I feel blessed to live here.
You'll have to come see it. It's great.
And it might be more affordable than you think. Learn more and schedule a tour at stjamesplaceinfo.org.